there's 26 works here. They're all from probably I would say late September to present, last year September. My work is pretty much an additive process. One theme carries to the next, to the next, to the next, and each little part of one painting ends up going to the next painting. And so it's kind of the way I've been working for about the past 30 years.
Mm-hmm. These paintings, we have some of your work in our office, and they're bigger.
Right.
The shapes are bigger. They're, I think, a little more, even more abstract. How has that progression gone for you? I mean, if it's, you know, sort of a transition from painting to painting, when did, you know, how did you get to this point right here from where you used to be?
I'm trying to picture which ones those were. They're quite large. I still work large.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably, I work very intuitively. So I think I've probably gotten a little bit tighter over the years than looser, which may be the opposite.
How do you define tight and loose? Because I think that's an interesting idea. I mean, certainly these are more compact and denser.
Yeah.
Than those older works that I've seen.
Yeah. I think the older works might be a little more painterly.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten into, I would say the major difference would be I've gotten into a lot more layering and a lot more planning, like underpainting when you want one color to show through the next layer and things like that. I've gotten into making paper and exploring a large variety of handmade paper, which then kind of leads me into a little more interest in pattern.
Did you work with fabric more before?
Always paper.
Okay,
yeah,
always paper.
Different kinds. Some are.
But there are a lot of textures in those
right.
older works, and I see some of that here, but not maybe as much. I mean, certainly there's a lot of texture. It's just it's a sort of different sort of texture.
I think these are a little cleaner, and I don't know why that is, you know. Again, that may be a little less painterly.
And more what? Less painterly and more...
These are more controlled mm-hmm. for some reason.
More illustrative?
Well, when I start a painting, just as in general, then and now, I always start with drawings. And often there's like two or three drawings on top of each other. And so when I work, I have an idea. I always establish a focal point. Composition is a really stickler for me. But I always let the painting paint itself as well. And so it's intuitive, a little bit subconscious, and maybe it was something I saw somebody wearing or something, you know, a color scheme from, you know. So it's a very intuitive approach. I don't always have an answer for what I do.
You mentioned two drawings on top of each other. Could we go take a look at one of these and show me, could you kind of point out how that might work and how it manifests itself in the final work?
Okay, sure. Like this big guy here. What have we got? Shelter series number 2. Probably this area might have been a drawing, just a shape, a mm-hmm. big shape. And then I might have taken a section from another drawing, I don't know what, let's just say that part, and drew that on this part. And then, this, even something just this simple might have been a separate drawing. And so they're all laid out almost like they were clear.
Mm-hmm.
So one's on top of another, and then when I work, I rotate the work, the actual physically rotate as I work.
So when you're working on one section, it might be oriented one way, and when you're working on another section, it might be oriented another way.
Well, the whole painting moves. So the top is constantly changing.
Okay.
I don't know, you know, what is the top until it's done.
Really?
And that's just kind of, again, it's a very intuitive, just gut instinct, I guess, you know.
So you talk about composition being important. Orientation is part of composition, of course. I mean, the way something is weighted toward the bottom or to one side
right.
or something like that. So what compositional elements are important to you as you're producing the painting, if you're not sure how it's going to orient itself. I mean, this piece, so you can have some sort of a weight to a painting where if this were the top edge, for example, mm-hmm. that would seem top heavy, and it would mm-hmm. almost seem like it were crushing that. Mm-hmm. What are you looking at compositionally as you're making it?
Well, it's all about asymmetrical balance. It's definitely not, the perfect mirror image on both sides. I tend to like things that are weighted on top because I think it sort of defies gravity a little bit mm-hmm. and it makes it a little more interesting. Other things that I like to do in a composition is to a large area or shape of certain color played against detail smaller pieces of another color and shape, so that variety, I guess, shape, size, color, texture. Some areas are just plainer, some are more detailed.
What is the last is the painting on, is that happen on top of the shapes and textures? Mm-hmm. Are those the things that you start with essentially?
Mm-hmm.
So you have essentially a uncolored canvas that has the composition.
Right, just a simple line drawing.
And are the textures on there at that point, or do they come later?
I usually try to start out with the color scheme in mind. It's hard for me obviously not to use red. I have a passion for red, so. So I'll lay in this area, if I know that I want that red, but often it gets covered up.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the first step always is to cover all the shapes with some sort of underpainting, be it paper, or just black. And then say I would leave this square, say this whole thing was black, and then I'll purposely leave this square black and paint the rest of it, but then come back with some texture of the same color
mm-hmm.
or hue. I like the paper because it enables me to put it down and look at it, and if I don't like the color, I can take it off.
Mm-hmm.
Same with acrylic. I love acrylic because it dries quick. And
what is the why a shelter series, and what does it mean to you?
The shelter series came about towards the end of last year, and is working with me, I think, because there's a lot of disasters happening in the world, people's homes between Haiti and Chile and all this other stuff, and it just, sometimes I think that we all have too many possessions, and if that shelter that you had was gone, then everything else, would be gone too. And I just thought about, trying to incorporate some of my personal stylized shapes in that, and just sort of started to create things that look like shelters.
Mm-hmm. To what degree, I mean, these are obviously non-representational, as you say in your artist statement, but they're not purely non-representational.
Right.
For instance, this painting over here, which
right.
is shelter number 9,
right.
pretty clearly you've got two buildings, what looks like a reflection, a tree.
Yeah. That's all new. That's all really new for me.
When did that start?
At the very end of last year.
Was it an epiphany, or was it just something that
I don't know. I just started looking at houses, I like to be outside, and I like to take walks and things like that, and I'm always looking at structures and shapes and just sort of got stuck on this idea of your home, your shelter, where you live, they most definitely are taking on more of a figurative look to them.
Now, this one over here Shelter 14, it has some of those shapes, but it doesn't seem as easily identifiable in terms of a of a scene as the, as that last one did. I mean, these look like windows, but they're, you know, on the bottom.
Right.
Is it? Is there a? Is this? Does it mean something different to you when it's not, when it's a little more abstracted?
Not really. I'm a hard one to figure out. And actually, for me, it's completely a formal approach. I teach 2D design at Augie, and the first thing I try to get past my students is to think of just design, and they're not things. You know, we're just looking at shape for shape, color for color, texture for texture, and I'm very much a formalist in that way. These two, to me, look like they're talking to each other. So to me, these almost could take on, you know, two people as mm-hmm. well as a shelter. I suppose I didn't put the little green top on there because it just kind of freaked me out that I made a tree in the other one. So.
Does it, being a formalist, does something that's not quite pure as design, does it scare you a little? Does that make you uncomfortable when you're making that? Or does it, do you...
It surprised me, actually. And again, I don't know exactly why that happened. You know, my husband came in my studio and he was like, that looks a lot like a tree. I'm thinking, yeah, you know, it is a tree.
Did you try to get off at that point? You know, scrape it off?
No, I just let it go, you know.
Let's go over to that one, which okay. the bigger one over there, which looks also looks kind of representational, looks like a still life.
Yes, it does. The blue olive?
Yes, and that is called the blue olive.
Yes.
Can you tell me about, is it based on a still life?
It is based on, again, a combination of ideas that were drawn out first. It was very much drawn this way. And once I saw this red shape as one, but, you know, different variations of red, that horizon line immediately took it to a tabletop level to me, and so.
But it's not right on a representational level because you've got a little jog down.
Right, I always do that. That's a Cezanne trick, actually.
Okay.
But then I thought, well, you know, this could be this, this could be that, and definitely went ahead and put the shadow in there. And,
it's a dual shadow though,
and,
so it happens.
Yeah, yeah. So it's flipped around a little bit, but this one's brand new. This one's only a couple weeks old. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know where these are coming from.
Where do you see them going? Do you like this different side of you?
I kind of do like it, actually. I don't know that it leaves as much to the imagination. You know, people want to see the title, and then they're thinking, oh, yeah, I see it, you know, all of a sudden.
It's a blue olive.
Yeah. And, you know, but it's still really new for me, so I don't know, you know. I guess I'll continue it for a while.
Do you have any, you talk about things leading from painting to painting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a sense of where this might be leading, or what new things you might incorporate based on your experience with these?
This one I liked. Well, a lot of them I try and limit it to two or three colors. Often I don't, but, you know, it's a little starting point for me. I'm getting very much into, these are all carved linoleum stamps. So these are actually stamped on there, and I like turning the pattern. I've always been fascinated with African pattern and design and different cultures patterns, you know. And so I probably see it going. They seem a little decorative, some of the patterning to me, so I don't know where that comes from either, actually.
Can you tell me about some of the other paintings? Are there any in particular that you are most like or are most confused by or intrigued by?
I'm always confused. I like this one. I like the blue olive a lot. And I like this one. I set myself up,
which is Winter Cell,
in trying to use, again, three colors, maybe two, four there with the black. And This one, you know, I'm going to make it predominantly white. It's the dead of winter. I've been watching the Olympics. You know, all I see is white. I'm so glad to see that snow finally melt. And I think I pulled it off. I think I pulled it off in a way that I've got a large space of white, a smaller space of black. I have the areas of interest with the patterning and that. And then again, it just has to sit well for me. It's just, you know, and then it tells me when it's done.
Do you have paintings that you finish and, you know, are done with, and but have no sense of any larger meaning outside of the design, and then a week, a month, a year, 10 years later, you look at it and say, "My God, I know exactly what that means to me, or that, where that came from, or what that symbolizes for me."
No.
We talked a little about the shelter. Generally speaking, do they have meanings to you? Symbolic?
No.
Just design.
Just design.
Mm-hmm.
Just a very formal approach. The ones that have like this, and this one, totem number one, for this year.
That's what that 10 designates,
right,
as the year?
Right. I often love the shape of beans, mm-hmm, and it's just that simple. You know, black beans, pinto beans, you know, people think they're potatoes, people think they're, you know, beach balls or whatever, but so in that respect, I don't look back a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I'm very prolific. I'm very disciplined. I treat it like a job. I don't really, I probably have, a handful of works I've kept over the years for myself.
How many paintings do you do a year?
Well, last year, let's see, 2008, well, it's always been a goal of mine to create over 100 paintings, always. So in 2008, I actually did 102, which I was really, really excited about. And I never count to the very end, you know, December 31st, I don't take a count, but I wait and see, you know. And the holidays always mess me up in December. But anyway, last year I did 117. And
has that been growing over the years?
That has been growing, and I think it's because I am self-driven and I just push the heck out of myself all the time. It's exhausting.
Not to be too crass, how many paintings do you sell a year, generally?
I also keep track of that. There's a handful of people that know this information, but I guess now everybody will. Last year, I sold 85.
Wow. And those were almost all 2009 works?
Yeah, I don't think I have anything from, probably 2006 or 7.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel, how many days of work do you week? Do you work
every day?
Every day? Do you work in paintings serially, or do you have a bunch of them going at the same time?
One at a time, always.
What's the shortest period in which one gets finished, and what's the longest?
Size doesn't matter, for one thing. A little one will take me as long as a big one. My goal is 2 a week, which if you talk to most artists, it's kind of insane.
Mm-hmm. Do you get stumped by some?
Always.
What happens, how do you, you know, we think of writer's block with people.
Right.
What does painter's block entail, and how do you get past it?
You just have to keep working on it. And that's why I don't believe in starting another one, just because the one you're working on doesn't work. You have to resolve it.
It's a cop-out?
It's a cop-out. You have to resolve it and then go on to the next.
Do you ever discard a painting?
I've painted over some, yeah, that just... You know, I'll finish it to one point and it's just cooked. You know, it's done and I don't know what else to do with it. But rarely.
How do they speak? You talk about painting intuitively. Do they speak to you as they're painting? Or do they only speak to you when they're done?
I think as I'm painting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I sort of get lost in it.
Do they, I mean, not to be too literal about it, I mean, do you have conversations with your paintings? Do you talk to them?
No, not out loud. Anyway. But I think, you know, as an undergrad, I was very much into the landscape. Mm-hmm. So that's my interest in organic form. I basically zoomed in on things, changed them around, kept working with that same shape, and it became stylized. When I got to graduate school, they wanted me to be an artist, not a landscape painter. And so that's when the geometry kept coming into play. I actually cut paintings in half, put them back together, and it's been feeding itself that simple and that basic for a good 30 years.
Your shapes tend to be rectangles and circular.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Why aren't there more triangles or hexagons? Or
I don't know. I actually carved kind of a argyle kind of block print block, and oh God, I've got probably two or three paintings, probably none here, that I've been able to incorporate that with. I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Do you not like triangles?
I don't mind triangles. They seem kind of sharp to me, I guess. I don't know. Pointy? I don't know.
And there's something very primal, primitive, straightforward about rectangles and circles in a way that no other shape seems to have. Is that
right.
Is that maybe more the pure design sort of thing?
That could be, and I don't think that I have exhausted those shapes yet. I'm not the least bit tired of them at all. You know, a section like this could become a whole painting if I like it. And that's what I do when I get a body of work. I'll sit and draw the paintings, parts of it, like little 3x4 squares of them, and then that's how the paintings get put together with other paintings.
So you might actually, when you say that it goes from one painting to the next, you mean that almost literally. You're sometimes incorporating or using as a source something from another painting.
Yes.
Is there anything you could point to in this body of work where you could say, see this section, it's repeated here?
Let's see. That directly. Well, this came from this, actually. This is the same composition as this. You know, basically.
Right, so that's mini number 8.
Right, that's probably the most direct. These lines came from a photograph a good friend of mine sent me from New Orleans during Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. And it was three guys in costume, and they were all black and white, and they all had different types of lines painted on them. And I have that in my studio, and I kept looking at it, and I thought, that's cool. You know, every time you just think of line, how many different ways can you do it? And, you know, again, I've yet to just exhaust that idea, I guess.